you ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you rockin'! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Greetings. What's up?
And Mr. Sonny Holly. You know what? I want to point out that Sonny's going to tell us a couple stories about how famous he is. And these stories, these things never happen to me. I've been doing the show for almost 6 years now. And anyway, Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
Nice. They never happened to you, liar.
It does. Not like it happens to you. Tell everybody what happened to you when you went to Walmart today.
Well, it wasn't today. It was about, it was a couple of weeks ago. Oh, well, it was about a week ago now. So I happened to be in California with the family or, you know, on a back-to-back-to-back, do this, do that. And get to Walmart. We check out. Usually my son and my wife are trying to win a race, so they go fast everywhere. And me and my daughters kind of do vacation place slow, right? So we're getting out of Walmart, and somebody's checking receipts, and my wife hands the person the receipt. Person looks up, goes, "Hollywood!" And I'm like, hello?
Really?
Do I know you? He goes, "You don't know me. I listen to Podcast Rock City." I'm like, wow. My wife's like, "Who's this guy?" And I'm like, I don't know. So met Robert Dunning at Walmart about a week ago.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Jesus. And then about a week before that, my brother calls and says, "Hey, do you have any Podcast Rock City swag?" And I'm like, "You want me to send you swag?" He goes, yeah, because I ran to this guy. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" So he's got a daughter that's about to turn 16, and they're putting together a birthday party. And this guy comes over. I don't know what he's doing for the birthday party, but he came over to the house, and Danny's talking to him. And the guy goes, "Your last name, any chance that you're related to Sonny?" And
yeah.
Danny goes, "Why?" He goes, "I love that guy. He's on Podcast Rock City. You think I could meet him or get some swag?"
Wow.
So that guy's name is John Sanchez. So guys, thanks for listening.
Super cool.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, man.
It's like nobody ever recognizes my ugly mug. I go to Walmart all the time.
Yeah, nice.
That was Karen that called. She said to tell you guys goodnight.
Karen.
I forgot to tell her that I was doing my show.
Right.
So that was Karen. And I abruptly silenced her. Anyway, silence Karen. No kidding.
Yeah, I'm meeting people in Walmart. That's never happened to me either. The closest, and maybe if Sabluski comes a few miles north, I might run into him somewhere. But I haven't run into anyone else. Except at, you know, in Nashville or something.
Yeah, but you know, also we don't do a show where you see our faces, so
it's true.
Not like, yeah. Anyway, well, you didn't you're not wanting to listen to the show for this. So Podcast Rock City is your weekly most of the time kiss, you know, fix. We have a lot going on.
Podcast Rock City News.
Kiss is tearing it up overseas. Did you guys... Now, I know that they play a lot of festivals when they go overseas. So, of course, somebody goes, "Oh, well, 60,000 people, you know, blah, blah, blah." No. It doesn't matter. They're still playing for 60,000 people. You guys agree with that?
Yeah.
It's like Kiss came on. Nobody said, "Screw it. I'm leaving."
Yeah, time to go to the bathroom break. No.
Yes.
No one left.
God knows they just wait for Eric's drum solo for that.
Yeah.
But I think Eric is peeing during the drum solo. Anyway.
Possibly.
That would be. So anyway, a couple weeks ago we did a show, and I want to catch up because what we listed were our 10 songs that we cannot live without. And a bunch of you sent them in, and I promised that I would read them on the air. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. We're going to talk with Mr. Brad Rustoven. Always sends us lists. He is the man. Thank you very much. So let's see. Top 10 songs he can't. This might take a little bit because I got like 5 or 6. Okay, guys?
Yes, go for it.
10 to 1. Psycho Circus, All Hell's Breaking Loose, Take Me, Larger Than Life, Hide Your Heart, It's All Right, Strutter from the Alive album. I Was Made for Loving You, I Stole Your Love, and Detroit Rock City. Those are good ones. I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, now Kevin Bowles. I hope I said your name right, buddy. Starting from 10. Parasite, Charisma, I Want You, Turn on the Night. Turn on the Night. Sorry. Detroit Rock City, She, the Alive version. Who Wants to Be Lonely, Larger Than Life, Black Diamond, and I Stole Your Love. And he says, enjoy the show a lot. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Kevin, from Syracuse, New York. Let's see. Yeah. I want to keep going.
Both of those guys only have like 2 songs that are in the set list right now.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Bauermeister. Bauermeister.
That's B-Rad. We met that guy.
Oh, okay. Now I feel stupid.
That guy is cool.
Number 10. Turn on the Night. A Million to One. You hear that, Sonny? A song from The Elder.
Yeah, did you hear he had A Million to One before that?
Yes. And yeah, number 9.
Whatever.
Number 9. Not 8. Naked City, Charisma, Shock Me, Parasite, She, Coming Home, and Let Me Know.
Sweet.
Jonathan Scott. Number 10. He wrote a little paragraph. I Love It Loud. I'm sick of it, but this video introduced me to Kiss visually. Young me only had my brother's copy of Destroyer before I saw this. Plus, Eric fucking Carr's gigantic sound. That was number 10. Thank you. That was awesome. Number 9, Love Gun. King of the Nighttime World, Mr. Speed, Who Wants to Be Lonely? Tears Are Falling, Sure Know Something. I Stole Your Love, The Alive 2. Using the Hollywood loophole, it says. Wouldn't You Like to Know Me? And number 1, Tomorrow.
Wow, so that set list would put Paul in the hospital.
Totally.
That set list is brutal.
Let's see. I'm making sure there's no others in the email. It looks like that's all of them. Thank you guys so much for doing that. Today I posted a video. I have not had a chance to look at it. Have you guys seen that interview that I posted on the Facebook page with Paul being interviewed a little bit about the comic book and stuff?
Yeah, that's why I got the domino thing on my thing.
Oh, shoot. I missed that. So can you break that down for us? What were they talking about?
Yeah, they were talking about a little bit about the comic book, a little bit about his book. The interview was really around Backstage Pass. And, you know, so he did the same old thing about, you know, people will tell you that, you know, well, this is what I would do if I were you, but they're not me. So I wrote a book about what I would do, and hopefully it will help people. So same kind of thing. And then they kind of roped in some Marvel stuff because he's a big Marvel fan also. And then they the lady showed him some characters, probably about 6 or 7 different characters from the Marvel universe. And Paul had to say either they rock on or they needed more work or whatever. And he turned one down, but 6 were thumbs up, and Domino was one of them. And it was like a 5-minute interview.
Oh, okay. I didn't get a chance to look at it because I was busy, but I saw it, and I was like, oh, I got to share this because it looks like it might have something to do with it. It would be cool if they were to throw Kiss into the Marvel Universe. I'm just kidding. It would be cool. All of a sudden, Gene comes walking out.
Kiss aren't in the Marvel Universe? I mean,
No, I'm talking about the movies.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to save your daughter, and then I'm going to bang her. The Gene's like...
Well, only way they're going to be in any of those movies is they're going to be like the homeless guys on the side of the road as Maybe. Deadpool you know, runs by or something.
Yeah.
I mean, they worked in Howard the Duck, so I'm just saying. Yeah, Howard the Duck was in both of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, I think.
Yeah.
He even had lines. The tour is going. We're still waiting for them to come back to the States. They come back to the States in September, I think. I think Jody, you'll see the second show back, I think.
Oh, yeah. Second one back, huh?
Which one are you seeing? September 1st? September
1st, yeah.
I think that's either the second or third show back, which is cool because maybe, and I know you didn't see the first round, but maybe there'll be something a little different in the, you know, maybe Crazy Nights is, that's okay to keep adding in.
Yeah, I could deal with that.
I could deal with some Crazy Nights.
Heck yeah.
So anyway, this...
I was telling Sonny earlier, dude, I was driving through Dallas and I just happened to turn on the radio and I heard Crazy, Crazy Nights.
On the radio.
On the radio.
That's nuts.
I know. Little aside there, but yeah.
The only time I ever hear that, if it's satellite, like the Hair Nation.
Yeah, it was like straight up FM.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you gotta remember that Texas is cool, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool so far.
They still do those, you know, big rock festivals out there, don't they?
I have no idea.
I know.
But they do South by Southwest, yeah.
Yeah.
Only in Austin. But I don't know anything else about it.
So, yeah, that's awesome. That's
off the track, but yeah. I couldn't believe that. It was on the freaking radio.
Yeah, and you'll never hear it again. All right, so let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
Yes! So the other day I sent the guys a message. I said, all right, this is what we're going to talk about, 1980s. It's just a flat subject, 1980s. And I put out a poll, and I'll read that to you guys in a little bit. I put it on our Facebook page. If you guys want to send us a letter, it's podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. And you can send us a letter about anything, what we're into it. And then and we will answer you back. And then if you want to join our group page for the radio show that's live on Wednesday nights at 8:30 Eastern time, you could go to Facebook and look for Podcast Rock City's group page. We're right there. Just ask to join, and we're really quick about getting you guys in there. And then and it's fun. Everybody, you know, is constantly talking to each other and hanging out. And then during the radio show on Wednesday nights, you guys are constantly, you know, listening to the show and having a cool kiss conversation. I'll say most of the time because you guys talk about anything, really. All right. So topic of the week is 1980s. And I guess we'll go through at least a couple of years and see what we think. 1980.
Yeah, but you got to figure the 80s in general are like the most turbulent decade for KISS, right?
Right.
I mean, so much shit was going on. It's crazy. I mean, they're coming out of the 70s. That was one of the biggest bands ever, right? And then they hit the 80s, and it's just like they're just struggling from day one, you know?
Right. They seriously did not know what to do.
No.
And think about how many studio albums they released in the 80s. You know, it was 8 of them.
Yeah. I mean, we love Unmasked, but I actually pulled up this top 10 rock songs of the 80s for each year, right? So I wanted to kind of put us in the mode of where we were. So you want to hear that real quick?
Sure.
So 1980, the top 10 was Once in a Lifetime by Talking Heads, The Breaks by Curtis Blow, Back in Black, AC/DC, Rapture, Blondie, Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division, Whip It, obviously Devo, You Shook Me All Night Long, Another One Bites the Dust, Celebration by Kool and the Gang, and Call Me by Blondie, right? So that kind of tells you where, like, popular music was. And KISS, was so far away from that at this moment, you know? Sure. I mean, we love Unmasked, but as far as, like, pop culture, they were just dead in the water, right?
Absolutely. And not only that, it was like they were... it was like right in front of them was... Like, when they were touring in 80 for Unmasked, they had Iron Maiden right there. They had... They could have looked at Iron Maiden and went, this is where everybody is good. This is the future, you know? And yeah. they did not, they still did not go that route. They still did not focus on hard rock, heavy metal.
Kiss was like so big, they lived in their own little bubble and they were like sheltered by like a coin from everything. You know what I mean? Like in their world, they could do no wrong, you know?
Yeah, plus 1980 Maiden is very raw, and I know Steve Harris hates it when it's called punk, but goddamn, they were basically punk. Like, they raw and dirty. They were not... If they would have had the 1983 Peace of Mind Iron Maiden opening, I think they would have been like, uh-oh, we got to be those guys.
Totally.
Right. I'm going to see Maiden next month. It'll be my first time.
Oh, my God. You will be blown away.
Really? First time?
Yep. And you want to know where my seats are?
Where?
Nosebleed.
I think I got 14th row.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very excited. Very excited. It'll be me and Karen and Bruce. Brucey's going to go. So,
cool.
Yeah. Iron Maiden, first time ever. Wow. I figure I got to see them, right?
Want to see how the big boys do it, huh?
That's right. So 1980 Unmasked comes out. I got the record. I loved it. You guys loved it, you know. But the fans didn't really get into it.
Yeah, well, anytime like a decade changes, people kind of throw out whatever came before, right? Like this, anything from the 70s is instantly not cool in 1980, right?
Right. And Peter is not on this record.
No.
That right there is a big deal. I mean, I remember getting my 16 magazine and it says breaking news or something like that. You know, Peter Criss, you know, leaves Kiss. And to be honest with you, man, I never even knew that a band member could leave a band. I don't know. I mean, I was only at this time, you know, about 9. So I had no idea that a band member from any band could leave. I'd never heard the stories or about other band members from other bands leaving them. And, you know, I was so, you know, for lack of a repeating ourselves, I was in a bubble. A coin put me in. No,
right.
I was in a bubble. I had no idea.
So let's play this out a little bit. So Jody, you be Bill, and Joe, you be Sean. Peter's going to leave. Gene, I come in and say, look, just grab somebody, put them in Peter's makeup. Don't tell anybody. Nobody would know any different. That conversation had to have been had. Like, what would Bill and Sean have said?
I'm pretty sure it did happen.
Yeah.
And...
Well, I think that if it did happen, obviously Sean and Bill said, hey, we got to have the Hawk or whatever. Can't do the cat man, you know?
Well, wouldn't Peter have owned his makeup still?
True. Yeah, that's true.
So...
But I think that they went wrong. Like, I think they could have put someone else in the makeup, especially in 1980, because half of those kids that were into him at the time had no clue who Peter Criss was, really, you know? Because they had a whole new audience of young kids since Dynasty, right?
Right. And original fans stopped listening.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
But if you really wanted to do it, right, can't you say, okay, Peter, you can leave. Makeup stays with us, baby.
Yeah, if you're going to leave the Pink Ladies, you got to drop the jacket.
Absolutely. Got to reps protect.
Got to rep to protect. See, we can slip that in. No problem. Yeah. She said. Maybe, but at the same time, He had the rights to the makeup, so I guess that did that. So they start looking for drummers, right? And Thanks.
Bring Anton in for like an hour and a half.
Anton Fig was an official member of the band for just a overnight, I think is what it was. They told Ace, tell Anton he's in the band. He told them he was in the band, and then the next day they were like, tell him we changed our mind. I'm not sure. Without knowing that Eric Carr was coming, how do you guys feel about that? Anton Fig.
You can't go wrong with Anton. I mean, I love Eric Carr, and he fit perfectly as well. But, you know, I think if they would have went with Anton, Ace stays in the band past, you know, in past Creatures.
But I don't think Anton sings. So is that going to work?
Yeah, because you got to at least be able to sing Black Diamond. That's like a prerequisite to be in Kiss for the drummer. You know, you got to at least do that one. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe I'm sure you could do it.
Maybe I just had to rehearse a little. Try it. Man, somebody call him. Ask him.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Does he sing? That's a good question. So I agree. I think Anton's in the band. Ace stays in the band.
Yeah.
Because now he's got a partner. He had with Peter.
Right. Not that him and Eric weren't super solid together, too. But, yeah, I mean, Anton had already played on his solo record. You know what I mean? So they kind of went back a little ways.
Yeah. You also got to admit, okay, they might have been party buddies from, what, 74, 75 to 79, maybe a little bit of 80. But yeah. I don't know if Peter's taken too many shots at Ace, but, man, Ace has taken a lot of shots at Peter over the last 20, 25 years. True. I don't know how good of friends they are.
Yeah, and I think Ace, he'd rather play with someone like Anton because it fits. Like, Peter Criss has a certain style that's just very, you know, people want to say it's jazzy, but it's just straight rock and roll, you know? Whereas, like, Anton's a lot more technical, and it fits with Ace's weird kind of riffage, you know? I think it fits way better than what Peter Criss does with Ace.
No, I agree. And Peter's drumming is more jazzy, big band.
Yeah. And it fits great with the early Kiss songs, but the direction they were going, you kind of needed someone like Eric Carr or Anton or someone with a little
Bonham.
Yeah, someone
with a Bonham feel to him.
Yeah, totally.
And Eric Carr had that. So we got Eric Carr. And, you know, he almost became the Hawk, and thank God he did not become the Hawk.
Yeah.
I know you guys have all seen the pictures out there, and they are freaking terrible. It's just like this drumming chicken sitting behind the... It's like the San Diego chicken. Can you imagine, like, they could have put a bird's head on him. You know how the San Diego chicken used to grab his beak and pull it in two different directions?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm having some great visuals right now of this San Diego chicken playing. You know, some guy, Eric Carr, with all his hair stuffed in that scent. San Diego chicken. Hey, yeah. Oh, just too much for my brain, right?
Because, like, in his drum solo, there's, like, a special part where he lays an egg or something.
Okay, now, this is good. So, here we go. This is where we're going with this. It's late night Jody all of a sudden. It's okay. So what would... Okay, so there's always something that has to do with, you know, each band member has their own thing. Laying an egg is what you think the Hawk would say.
What else is a bird going to do? He's going to fly away.
Oh, my God. What if they had this huge nest up at the top of the light?
Yeah.
And he, like, opens up these wings and flies up into this nest, then lays an egg, and when it hatches...
What the hell are you guys talking about? You guys are nuts.
Come on, man. We're trying to figure out what the special feature in a live show with the Hawk would be.
Wow.
There's like a perch, and there's like these statues, and he totally just covers them.
Okay, I'm just saying. Yeah. It's better than... Thank God he wasn't the cow, because he could have come out and like spewed milk all over people from his udders.
That I'd like to see.
Yep, I'm going to invent it now. All right, but let's get back to it. So Eric Carr, it becomes the Fox, and it's just like, here's the thing that always freaks me out. It's like, how did Fox not come up first? And how fast after, like, okay, so they're looking at the pictures of him as the Hawk, and all of a sudden they're going, no, 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 this is no good. When did somebody go, what about a Fox? It's like, where was that guy before the Hawk thing happened?
Right.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to paint your nose yellow. No.
I'm going to give you a bird chest.
So did Paul, is it Paul that came up with the Fox?
I'm sure he probably did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul Stanley. You are our hero yet again.
My guess is how it got the Fox is they're looking at this Hawk thing going, all right, no feathers. How about fur? What can we do with fur instead? And right. That's what got him to the Fox.
Yeah.
But it's a good, but they still could have been like chinchilla.
Prairie dog.
Yeah. Meerkat.
Yeah.
He stands up straight, you know, looking around out of a hole.
There's a hole in the stage that he comes out of.
See, look, we're right now, we're actually discussing things the way Kiss did when it came to the makeup. He's like Giraffe Boy and Wolf right. Boy, Sheep Boy, you know. So I guess, you know, for as much as we sit around and go, man, it would be great if Tommy Thayer had his own makeup, really, I mean, there's so many stupid ideas that it's probably just hard to be a spaceman.
But there's only two that make sense. You go from a cat to a dog and a spaceman to a caveman. That is the only two that make sense.
Yeah.
Vinnie Vincent as the caveman? I'm not even going to comment on that shit. But
I think you just run the risk. Like you ever seen, like, in the 80s, like, everybody had, like, a TV show where there's some rock band and makeup, you know, like Quantum Leap or whatever. And
yeah,
I think
I saw that.
Without the cat or the spaceman, it's just going to be something corny like that, you know? Or the fox. The fox was good. I didn't think the Ankh was cool at all, though.
You know, I liked Vinny's makeup.
Yeah.
I did. He didn't wear it really long.
No.
It was a short time, so...
I think they just used that because they wanted to have Ace had silver, so they wanted some type of metallic other than black, you know?
Yeah, so you know, he was gold.
Yeah. It never translated for me. It's just, I don't know, the Ankh Warrior? That's stupid.
So, yeah, all right, so let's talk about that. So Ace, he does the Australian and Overseas Unmasked Tour, right?
Yeah.
They come back. They decided...
Sonny's favorite record.
Yeah, they decided that what they needed to do, what Paul, I think it was Paul that said, we need to put out a smart record.
Yeah. Let's appease all these critics that have hated us from the jump, you know?
The dumbest thing a rock band can do, to be honest.
Yeah. You guys want to hear the top 10 of 81?
Absolutely. Let's hear it.
Contrast the Elder. So you got Jesse's Girl at number 10.
Yeah, baby. Jesse's Girl.
Yeah.
Our Lips Are Sealed. Start Me Up by the Stones. In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins. Don't Stop Believing. Physical, Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, yeah.
Super Freak, Tainted Love. Don't You Want Me by the Human League. And at number one, I Love Rock and Roll, Joan Jett.
Joan Jett. Now, see,
think about it. Those songs.
I love all those songs.
Every one of those is classic today, you know?
Classic today.
And no, nothing on the Elder made the list.
You're kidding.
Any list.
I mean, I think a couple of those Elder songs are great, but yeah, I mean, none of them are as classic as any of those 10. You know? I mean, you still hear those 10 today. All the time.
No, it's true. It's damn true.
But you would think by 81, Rick Springfield's kind of got this power pop sound like that Tomorrow did the year prior. You'd think maybe Kiss would pick up on these hints, but they just they never could stay like current. They always had to like follow, you know.
That was an issue for them.
Ever since like from 77 on, they just started following instead of leading, you know, or maybe 78, because stepping out and doing solo records was definitely, you know, a move of a band that was still leading things, you know. But when, I guess when they failed, they figured, man, we better start following some of these trends, I guess. But,
So what do you think? So, all right. So, Sonny, you can sit this out. Jody, you and I love The Elder. We like it a lot, you know? It grew on you. I liked it from the beginning. It grew on you, or you liked it from the beginning?
I liked it from the beginning just because, well, when I was a kid, when I started finding, like, going and trying to, complete the Kiss catalog, you know, The Elder was the last one I ever found, and it was, like, super hard to find in those days, you know? And I found a cassette, and it was just, like, it was my holy grail of Kiss records at the time, because I just could never find it for, like, I bet you 3 years I looked for that record. This is before the internet, or I didn't know anything about mail order, really, you know, so I had to find it in the wild. And once I finally did, you know, and it was just a cassette, so the first song was Still the Oath, you know, and I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. And surprisingly, I really liked Mr. Blackwell when I was young. I thought it was cool sounding and kind of creepy, you know.
Yeah.
But even when I was a kid, I hated Just a Boy. I was just like, it was terrible from the jump for me, even as a little child. I thought it sucked. But, you know.
You couldn't find it because it was in the clearance bin. You were looking the wrong place. It was all in the return area.
Those cutouts.
All right, let's have an honest conversation here with Sonny, Mr. Sonny Pooney. What is it about The Elder that you hate so much?
It's too different, and some of the songs are super corny. Like Mr. Yeah. Blackwell is terrible in my opinion. It's just as bad as Just a Boy. But I absolutely hate Pink Floyd, Grateful Dead. I like any Rush, like any of that weird, too long a song, weird proggy. I just need 3 minute rock and roll songs.
Boom, nailed it. Yeah, I mean, it's just for Kiss, it's a little pretentious, you know, when they're coming off being like the world's greatest rock and roll band a few years prior, you know. We don't need them to turn into Pink Floyd. But, you know, I'm a fan still. I mean, just because it's a quirky, weird Kiss album. But only Kiss fans like The Elder. No one that's not into Kiss likes The Elder. You know?
Yeah.
Only us weirdos.
Yeah. And I really love that record. I just remember the first time I got it on cassette. I put it on. My mom was walking by my room. I remember telling her, hey, do you know who this is? This is Kiss. And she was like, no way. And I think Just a Boy was on at the time. So let me tell you guys, I put a post out on Wednesday that said, what was the best Kiss record released in the 80s? And we got a ton of responses. The first one is predictable. Sonny Pooney, he said, Asylum Baby. You say it, Sonny, because you do it good.
Asylum Baby!
All right. I'm going to try to say everybody's name and tell you their record, okay? Joshua Taylor was Creatures. Brian Harris said, well, The Elder is my favorite Kiss album, but going with Creatures of the Night. This is like, so if it's your favorite, come on, stick with The Elder. Don't listen to Pooney. Let's see. Kevin Dobbs, Creatures, then Lick It Up. Marianne Crowley says, I second that. I'm going to screw this one up. Naran Kavura, I'm so sorry. Creatures. Jens Olsen, Unmasked. Jason Bakken, Lick It Up. I'm just not an announcer. David, Kathy, Creatures, Lick It Up, 1 and 1A. Peter, Cesare, how do you say his name? I fuck it up every time.
Cesare.
I'm sorry, Peter. I should know this by now. Unmasked and Creatures tied for me now, he said. Mike Williams, Creatures, Andrew DJ Noise Rodriguez. Incredibly hard question, but if I had to pick one, it'd be Creatures. Brent, Chinese Democracy. Jason Boyle. I'm just kidding. You just said that was funny. Brent, you're silly. I think you missed the question somehow. Jim Polkowski, Creatures. Rob Keller, Creatures. Ryan Bannon, Asylum. Christopher Allen, Lick It Up. Scott Gull, so many underappreciated in that decade. Sean Cullen, Elder. Change My Mind. Bloody well. That's pretty funny. Yeah. Marley Cardona, Creatures. The rest of the albums, Until Revenge, are mostly recyclable. Okay, if you say so, there's going to be, you're going to get in a fight. Let's see. Craig Johnson, Creatures. Sean, Asylum. Eric Hyde, All. Wow. Jacob Payne, Lick It Up. Jacob Payne, by the way, is in Bay City Psychos. Richard Dunlap, Creatures and Crazy Nights. Heath Nagley, Creatures with Makeup. And you know, the album cover, I guess. It's the same record. Matt Patrick, Creatures of the Night. I'm getting close. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just making sure. I want to read everybody's. David Zanet, Creatures. Brad Rustoven, Lick It Up. Nobody cares what Brad has to say. Eric, I'm kidding. Eric Valentine. Why did he say Ace's 83 arrest record? Eric. That's great. Funny. In DeLorean's automobile. Yeah. Paul Aruda, Creatures and Lick It Up. Jason Boyle, Animalize. I really love Animalize and not really much more than Lick It Up, but I think Creatures in the Night is the most awesome. Let's see. Creatures of the Night is Ricky Cook. Creatures of the Night is Cliff Van Dyke. Kevin Williams, Creatures. I mean, really, you know, Courtney Cronin-Dold wrote, I think a few years ago I would have said something else because I didn't know about Unmasked. But now that I do, I really love it. So I say personal taste, Unmasked. Nice. And then, let's say, then there's a conversation. Aaron Martle, I'm sorry if I miss anybody. Creatures of the Night. All right, I got just a couple more. Bill, Big Bill Ellum, Creatures of the Night. Lonnie White, I'm sorry, I can't say your
last name.
Thank you very much, Creatures. And Mark Anthony K said Asylum.
Yeah, no Crazy Nights, no Hot in the Shade.
No.
No Killers.
No Killers. So, and I wanted to say everybody's thing because it's important that you guys know that we really do pay attention. We do listen and read everything that you guys write us. So that is still a pretty good list. And we did leave a couple of records out though, didn't we? So, and what were they, Sonny? No Crazy Nights.
And no Hot in the Shade.
No Hot in the Shade.
No Smashes, no Killers.
Yeah.
I don't know if those count. Smashes, though. I guess that, I don't know, whatever.
You know, the other thing I was just thinking about, that's this Elder hatred, it might also have to do with, by the time I hear Elder, I've already heard everything through Crazy Nights. So
yeah, that would be a difference, yeah.
And I'm turning 17, 18 years old. I'm in San Francisco. I'm all about Guitar Gods and Shrapnel Guys and people ripping. And you know, Paul's voice is perfect at that point. And I am totally into the hair metal scene, absolutely 100%. And then I go be a completist to go get all the Kiss catalog, get this shitty record, and go, what the hell is this? Thank God they're not this anymore. And threw it out the window.
Right, and you can find it on the side of the road in Burbank, California, in L.A., and San Francisco. Yeah. He sees it in the bin, and he goes, I'll try it again. And then...
Because it only cost me 50 cents every time I bought it. So.
Right.
The first song you can get through, because it's The Oath. You don't mind that song, right?
It's okay.
Oh,
and okay. I's okay. Escape from the Isle is the best song on there.
You hear Jody giggle? That was an uncomfortable "you're wrong" giggle.
I like that one too. But I can't believe you don't get off on like "Only You." That's the shit.
Only You, man.
Best Gene song, sure.
Yeah, man. All right, so let's move forward. Elder comes out.
Odyssey, though. I mean, come on, it's your power ballad.
Odyssey's okay.
Yeah.
See, all of a sudden, Sonny's sitting there right now going, oh, man, I'm going to have to buy this record again.
And no, I have it. The completest? Are you kidding me? I have it.
When was the last time you put it in? That's what she said.
Nice. I had a bet with somebody like 3 or 4 months ago, and I put myself through the heartache. I don't remember what it was.
Golly.
And it was painful. Like, that was a painful plane flight.
It's funny.
This would be a good time for a would you rather. It's like, would you rather listen to a disco Rolling Stones record or The Elder, Sonny?
Disco Rolling Stones.
Oh, my God.
The only way I would pick Elder over anything is if it was Pink. There's no way I'm ever going to listen to a Pink Floyd record from front to back. That will never happen. Rush, that will never happen. I'd much rather listen to The Elder.
I bet Jody's got a few things that can make you listen to a Pink Floyd album from front to back.
That wouldn't even help. You know, when I was a kid, I thought I should like all that stuff because I was a bit of like a, you know, ahead. So I would try to listen to these bands that everyone thought I should like, and I never liked any of them either. Can't do it. No Pink Floyd, no Dead, none of that.
I can take them. I can take Pink Floyd in larger doses than I can the Dead. I do recognize that they all have talent. That's, as a musician myself, I do recognize that they have talent. But, you know, it's just like if Gilmore were to, like, vomit blood on stage or light his legs on fire or something, I would be so much more into it. They did have a plane crash on stage, let's be fair. That's pretty badass.
Yeah. I'll give you a couple of others. I'd rather listen to The Elder than Foo Fighters or Pearl Jam or Nirvana. Or U2, or fucking Saxon, or Faster Pussycat. There you go.
Really? Faster Pussycat's on the list.
Can't stand Faster Pussycat.
Pussy.
No.
No?
His voice is too annoying.
Yeah. I like that first record by those guys.
That's some sleazy shit. Got Your Number off the Bathroom Wall.
Yeah.
That's a good song, man.
Oh, yeah, but it
got you never!
Yeah, no thanks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I want to make two things. I want to make some little edits here. I want to make sure everybody knows that the Kiss Cruise, they added Warrant just this past week, which is pretty interesting, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but Warrant ain't Warrant without Janie Lane.
Oh, you're so wrong.
Oh, whatever. You can say
Robert Mason is killing it.
I'm sure he's good. But Janie Lane was the shit, man. He's the guy. So
that's because you remember 1991 Janie Lane. 2001 Janie Lane was not that good.
No. My mom, she loved Janie Lane. She would watch the videos when they would come on. We'd all be sitting around, and my mom would go, "Look at his little boyish smile." I'd be like, "Damn, mom!" Like 25 years younger than you.
My mom's favorite band was
Poison.
Air Supply.
Man, my mom loved Air Supply, too. I could sing almost every song.
Yeah. Dude, I used to work with this chick that looked exactly like Janie Lane.
Really?
Yeah. She looked just like him, dude. Same, like, buggy eyes, you know? Same smile, same hairstyle, everything. Only thing she had was some frontage and some backage, but otherwise she was Janie Lane.
Boobs at the bottom. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one of the news things. If you guys, I think there's still cabins available, which is shocking. However, I'm still not going. I'm still not going to make it. Let's see. Also, we have all seen that the Metal Hammer records are out. I mean, the Metal Hammer magazines are out with the records. Jody, I saw you posted something about that. Did you check it out?
Yeah, I want to get those. Those look cool.
Yeah, I threw a large hint to Karen for my birthday. I said, I don't have to have them now. My birthday's in October. But the red, you know, the only thing that's, I mean, they're releasing the 45s, right? And the red, the blue, the purple, and the green vinyl. But they're putting Peter's solo face on there and Ace's solo face on there, which just creates controversy, you know?
Yeah. I just think they look cool. It's just cool.
They do look cool.
I like 7-inch.
Yeah, they could. That's what she said. They could have. They could have, you know, released a couple of different songs. The other guys have their songs, you know? It's
true.
It's interesting. I still feel like as much as Kiss doesn't want to look backwards, whenever they're selling something, they sure as hell do, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
No offense to, you know, Paul. I know he listens. Or Gene. Apparently he edited. Did he edit the magazine or the music or something?
I don't know that much about it. I just saw it.
Yeah. So the link is on our Facebook page if you guys want to check it out.
Yeah, and nothing against Tommy, because this is going to sound bad. But, you know, these guys are in a business meeting. They're like, okay, we're going to release some, you know, stuff. We can either release Shock Me, or we can release When Lightning Strikes. Guys, what do you think we can make more money on? And exactly. Those answers are the same every damn time.
No, it's true, but I sit and I watch what happens, right? Like, so Kiss gets put out in a UK magazine. What was it? You know, Rock Candy, right? Everybody's out looking for this magazine. Everybody's trying to find it. Just because Kiss is on the cover of a magazine that's released in the States, we don't get that. You'll constantly see magazines overseas with Kiss, you know, on the covers because, I mean, they sell there. But I think that a lot of these rock magazines that are still out they should be paying attention. Kiss fans in the States want magazines with Kiss on the cover. They'll go right out and buy them every single time. I guarantee that those, I mean, there's been a few in the past couple weeks. Have you guys have seen that, right?
I've seen a couple.
And people are like, as soon as they get them, boom, they post the picture online, and they're, you know, this especially, like this Metal Hammer magazine, I know that it's not, I don't think it's in English, right?
I don't know. It's in English. It's in English.
Their website, you have to actually click a button to make it English.
Translate.
Yeah. So I'm not sure, but, you know, people want it because the covers are cool, and the records, you know, that come with it, that's cool. That's how you put a product out for Kiss fans to buy, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Spin Magazine, you know, they wrote the book on how to sell 4 copies of the same magazine.
Totally. Those were so cool back then.
Yeah, they were awesome. Okay, so... All right, we kind of got off track there because of the extra news. But those things are cool. If you guys get pictures of them, post them to our Facebook page. Let's see. So we did the Elder, and then Ace was so miserable because of the Elder that he threw the CD up against the wall, he said. Even though I'm not even sure there were CDs then, I'm going to go more with the tape. But, you know, the whole time he was there, weren't they even recording it at his studio?
Yeah, I think they were just sending him tapes, and he'd, like, slap leads on them.
Wasn't he saying, hey, this stuff sucks?
Yeah, but who's going to listen?
I mean, but he never says that he did say that it sucked. Until it was all over, right? He said, I listened to it. I threw the CD up against the wall. I would love to know that he spoke out even though nobody listened, because... It's just like, if you're going to have, like Sonny, who does not like the Elder, if Ace didn't step up and say, hey, this is not good, this isn't what we should be doing, then he gets some of the blame.
Yeah. I think it's kind of interesting, though. It's like Ace and Bob Ezrin just don't work together that well in Kiss, it seems. You know what I mean? Because on Destroyer, he's replacing his parts, Dick Wagner's parts, the Elder Ace thought sucked, and then it obviously wasn't on Revenge. But those two just, maybe they don't see eye to eye. I mean, I don't know that for sure.
And is Ace even paying attention, really? He's like, okay, he's got people in his ear about going solo, leaving the band. You know, you're going to be a big star. Look at it. You're the only one that's had hits in the last couple of years. Right. And, you know, so, and then people, you know, the guys are sending him stuff. He's just ripping leads and throwing back, whatever. Just get that off my list because I got to do it.
Right. Yeah, his heart wasn't in it this time at all.
So, like, all right, so that album came out. Ace decides it's time to bonk, time to go. But he was apparently also having a lot of trouble, you know, because he apparently told Paul, if I don't leave this band, I'm going to die.
Right.
So it was probably good that he did. I mean, I don't mean probably. I mean, it was good that he left if that was meant he was going to live.
Yeah.
But they still had to figure out a way to keep him to not let everybody know on the outside what was going on. I'm not even sure they let the record company know, right? That Ace had left.
No, they didn't. Because they needed, like, at least three on the cover of Creatures, right?
Right.
And it was a big scandal.
Man, I'll tell you something else. You can go online and find footage of them all together, even with Ace, and Ace looks pretty good when he's sitting there with Eric, and they're looking at Creatures of the Night, and they're talking about how it has a insert with all the lyrics on it and everything, and
right.
And then there's the MTV, you know,
like promo
thing. I want my MTV, yeah, kind of thing with Gene picking his, yeah, nose and.
So, I believe all that to be light at the end of the tunnel. So there's been a couple of times in my life, I'm sure it's happened in yours, where you've had to make a very, very tough decision to leave a job. But, dude, once you make the decision, those next 2 weeks you got left there, the whole load is off. You're so fucking happy. Yeah. Why, you're even joking about it, right? So you see light at the end of the tunnel. This shit is over in 2 weeks. So my guess is he's already made the decision. That guy can't be happier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be true. But here's the thing. He's already gone so long that they recorded a whole record without him.
Yeah.
It's like, did he have to... I mean, he's not even sure if he played on it or not, which is funny. But did he... I wish I knew how that all worked, because he didn't go, I'm out, and then they just said, all right, well, take care. See you later. See you at a barbecue or a reunion in 20 years. But
yeah, but it, okay, so the Elder released late 81, Creatures released October of 82. So at the most amount of time, he's gone 11 months. There's no way that's happening, because there's still stuff after the Elder, blah, blah, blah. So my guess is he's gone... They probably took them 4 or 5 months to record the record.
Yeah.
So, what about all the personal appearances? All the things they did. They shot a video. They were in, there's like, I Love It Loud has probably, I don't know how many different versions, but there's a bunch of different versions where they're playing that on stage, you know, in front of a crowd, not in a concert, but like a TV show, like in Germany or something. Yeah. You know, where they're just... So Ace did all those appearances, even though he didn't play on the record. It's kind of like watching Peter play Shandy, you know,
in
the video. And
yeah, it is. Wasn't the whole deal, though, this was a time where, like, Casablanca was turning into Polygram, right? I think I remember, it must have been on KST, and they always know all the facts, but I think the whole thing with Ace in that time was, like, they were trying so hard to get him to stay because Polygram, they stood to lose a lot of money without three original members, you know what I mean? Right. So they were, like, begging Ace to stay, and so I think that those extra appearances were probably, he was paid well to be there so that they would look like they still were, had at least three because of their contracts. I'm pretty sure that was the deal, and I'm sure you could dig it up in an old episode of KST, but you know how those guys, they know, they do the research. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That we don't really fuck with. But I'm pretty sure that was the deal, if I remember correctly.
Man, that's a shame. Because, you know, but they could have slapped Vinny. That was, okay, so that's what happened. Ace is gone. Vinny, by basically, from what we understand, by default, he falls into the spot as the new guitar player for Kiss. And, you know, his first character, I can't remember what it was before the wizard. I want to say it was...
Wonder Woman? My bad.
Yeah.
You know, lasso and everything.
All right, so the gimmick would have been...
The bird flies up and he lassos it and catches it.
And it pulls him up into the nest.
Yes.
Yes.
Just and he dance. Shoots things out of his Wonder Woman armbands.
I was going to ask, did Barbara Bush wear pantsuits too? Like Hillary? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. Anyway, all right. So Vinny's in the band and... I mean, even though Creatures of the Night did not get a big, it didn't sell like it should have. You guys agree with that? It was a much better record than the last few before it.
Well, it was Kiss trying to rock out again, you know, after, you know, album after album of them going down the wrong path. I mean, for your average rock fan, that's what the way they would look at it, right? I mean, we love all the records, Dynasty, Unmasked, The Elder, even, maybe not Sunny, but you know what I mean. But to your average rock fan, they were totally off the path until Creatures, but by then, it was too fucking late, you know what I mean?
Right. I still say that Michael James Jackson is the main thing that when it came to Creatures that made it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, because you think if they would have just put that record out and it sounded like, I don't know, The Elder or something, I don't think it would have had such an impact like it has over the Kiss Army, you know?
Right, it had to have a big sound.
Big sound.
Yeah, and they were very fortunate to get him to do the record. I don't care how many songs Vinnie Vincent would have played on or helped write without Michael James Jack. So maybe, of course, maybe it's a combination. I'll give credit where credit's due. You know, the Vinny's playing was different than Ace's.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good. It's not like it's bad. Especially, I really like it on that record, especially. Yeah. And I know he didn't play on every song, right? He didn't.
Yeah. I think some of the best ones aren't Vinny.
Yeah.
You know. Like, I Still Love You, it's probably one of the best solos. That's not Vinny, is it? I think that was Robin Ford, right?
Yeah. But still, you get a little bit... That record was good because of a group effort, probably. But I'll give more than 50% of the credit to Michael James Jackson because he had the ear.
Yeah.
You know, didn't they say they... They sat him down and played like 15 or 16 songs for him or something. And he said, all right, you got four good songs here.
Yeah. Especially Gene. Gene played him like 50, I think he told us. And he's like, you got two songs here, buddy.
Yeah. But
that's, I wonder how many Paul brought in, you know what I mean? Probably not too many considering they had to start bringing in all the extra writers. You know, Adam Mitchell, Vinny. Whoever else, the guys from Brian Adams wrote War Machine, right?
Right. Brian
Adams. Yeah, I mean, at this time, though, I mean, Kiss, even though there was a metal scene happening, the top 10 is there's no metal. You want to hear that real quick?
Read it, yeah.
Top 10 rock songs of 1982. Coming in number 10 was The Culture Club with Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
Hell yeah.
And then you got Hungry Like the Wolf, Rock the Casbah, 1999, classic. Planet Rock, Sweet Dreams, Eurythmics, Beat It, The Message by Grandmaster Flash, Sexual Healing, and Billie Jean.
Man, you know, it's so far in all three of those lists that you've read, I've known every song.
Yeah, these are like the biggest songs of that era. And even on this, all 10 of those are still played to this day. You know what I mean? Maybe not the Culture Club as much.
And what was the other one? Planet Rock?
African Bambaataa and the Soul Sonic Force.
Yeah. But yeah, still.
Still, 1999.
We know everyone.
Yeah. And yeah, it just goes to show, it's like Kiss was trying to go, if they would have made a heavy record in 1980 like this, what do you think would have happened? You know, instead of Unmasked, they went ahead and skipped straight to Creatures, you know? It would have been up there with the Maidens and the, you know, British Invasion or New Wave of British Heavy Metal shit, right?
I agree. I think that Creatures of the Night is every bit, is to me, every bit as heavy as anything Maiden would have put out back then. I mean,
Creatures is better than the first two Maiden records. I tell you that right now. And I'm a huge Maiden fan.
Yeah.
Those first two Maiden records, they're good. Problem is Paul Di'Anno, so it's just there's something missing until Dickinson joins.
Dickinson comes in, right? Yeah.
My thing was, you know, for them to release this album in 80, they would have been ahead of the curve, which we know they were followers. There's no doubt there. The better thing that could have happened is you take the makeup off for Creatures and say you're going to be like, if you're going to be different than the Elder, just drop it all. Two-fourths of you are gone anyway. Yeah. Just take the makeup off right now.
Well, Paul was ready, but he couldn't convince Gene. Yeah, that would have been a huge deal because at the end of the day, I mean, you guys know I'm not Mr. Creatures, but I think it's better than Lick It Up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it would have a huge impact because taking the makeup off made Lick It Up huge.
I'll tell you what. This is where we're going to stop. We're gonna stop right before the makeup comes off, and maybe we'll pick it up on the next show with our discussion about the 1980s when the makeup comes off. What do you guys think of that?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. So you guys let us know what you think. Tell us where we're wrong, tell us where we're right. PodcastRockCity1@gmail.com. That's the number one, by the way, in case you don't know that. And anybody that wants to send Sonny hate mail about the fact that he does not like the Elder, you can send it there as well. Also, don't forget the radio show on Wednesday night on KGFRocks.com. If you get the TuneIn app, it's free. Get the TuneIn app on your phone or on whatever. Then go to KGF Rocks and you can listen. They do a Sweet 16. It's just so much stuff happening on that. Plus, they get to play some really weird deep cuts, not only from Kiss, but from bands doing Kiss tunes that you've never heard before. Like, mind-blowing. I turned it on the other day. I was like, what the hell is this? I didn't even know. Let's see. Jody, do you have anything to add?
What I add? Just thanks for listening, everyone. Appreciate it.
Sonny.
Thanks for all the support, and thanks for all the people that are on the Facebook page and interact with us. Really love it.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And you know what I'm going to say? We love podcasts, and we love Kiss podcasts, and you're going to hear the commercials for all of those right after this in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Peace.
The best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes, all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.